Hello and welcome to Indians on Deck. I am Matt Schlichting, joined as always by Brian Hemminger. Brian, how has spring training been?
It has been the best 4 days of my life.
And you're not even at spring training, correct?
No.
Exactly. It's that exciting.
I have been box score watching. I need baseball. I need to see prospects doing things, and they're actually getting to do things.
So we definitely want to talk about first impressions we've seen. We're going to get to that later on in the show. We also learned that there's going to be an expanded, basically, taxi squad that follows teams on the road. And I think we both have some thoughts about how that might give or maybe hinder opportunities for some of the prospects. But first, it turns out that schedule changes to the AAA season occurred. I want to say that came down today or yesterday, but the season will be delayed by a month.
I don't think that's a huge surprise because that's what was happening already for all the other levels that were full season. Like the initial announcement was, you know, Major League starts early April, AAA starts a couple days later, and then every other level starts a month later. I think it's not a huge shock here that AAA is going to start at the same time as everybody else.
Yeah, it seems like maybe we'll get lucky with AAA because I could see the league acknowledging perhaps a point the Players Association would make, although I don't know if they care about minor leaguers. That's not casting shade. I do not know if they are represented by the MLBPA now that I think about it.
I don't think you get represented until you either make a 40-man roster or actually get called up to the show.
Even from the major league team standpoint, you would want to try to have the closest level play as many games as possible, I think is what I mean.
I think from what I'm hearing is the main reason that they are pushing back AAA is, I think, vaccine availability, because they want to make sure everybody gets vaccinated. And right now, there's no guarantee that every AAA player would be able to get vaccinated before the season starts, but they should be able to get all the major league players and coaches. So that's the main thing. So
do you think that's going to have any effects on the Indians' willingness to call up certain players to ensure that they're getting another month of real games, essentially? Is that going to affect 40-man or 26-man roster decision-making, do you think?
Well, from what I'm hearing is they're still going to set up a taxi squad during the regular season. So Tom Hamilton today during the broadcast mentioned that they're trying to get Columbus set up because they want it to be close. So even though they're not going to be having games there, they'll be having like all the extra players there for that first month. That's the plan, at least. I mean, it still has to be approved and everything. But so they'll be close enough that, say, they need somebody, they can call and they'll get them there, you know, in an hour or two. Then what was really interesting was he mentioned that when they go on the road, they're not just going to be only playing the Central Division this time. They'll be playing all over. You know, you're not going to just be able to go, hey, Columbus, let's get a player if you're in Los Angeles. So they're going to be bringing five taxi squad members with them, like super taxi squad. So in case something happens where, you know, somebody tests positive, they're out. Maybe somebody that was directly exposed to them is out too, and they need to bring someone in at the, you know, immediately, they will have some players with instant access to be able to join the team on a moment's notice, which is kind of cool.
The flexibility that it provides the team, plus I think the development chance it's going to offer, like you said, some of those guys, is it's sort of a nice compromise, I think, for some of the guys who are close. They're not going to necessarily have to lose the chance to be working out in close proximity with the team trainers and in the facilities, I guess. That's how it seems. I guess we'll have to see. It'll be interesting to see if any players talk about the adjustment this season with yet more changes, I guess.
I mean, the main thing that matters right now is that we're getting to see some of these guys in action, or maybe at least hear them in action.
Yes.
Since there's no television yet, but I have been getting to listen, and some of those guys get a good crack out of the bat.
Oh, speaking of bat cracks, Bobby Bradley. Oh my God.
We did get to see that. We did get to see that, actually.
We got to talk about that home run since we're on the subject. Did you see Mandy Bell's tweet just marking where it hit the wall?
I'm surprised there wasn't a crater in the wall.
God.
So, yeah, we've had a few home runs, but his was by far the most impressive.
He hit it so hard, the cameraman just immediately lost sight of it. And he didn't even think to point to the part of the park where Bradley hit it, because it's like, no, nobody hits it there, actually.
That game was a classic Bobby Bradley game, too. He came up, he went 1-for-2 with a home run and a strikeout. but today, he hit the ball twice, but he did not get on base. So for the entire spring training so far, he's 1-for-4. But that one is a big one. So only a 25% strikeout rate. That's actually a significant improvement this last time in the major leagues. So when he was over 40.
Work to do still. But
yes.
Hey, if every 4 at-bats we get a home run, strikeout, and I don't know, whatever, just random outs, that's a guy you play. Who are some of the other guys that have gotten to a hot start?
Okay, I mean, you can't say hot start without starting with the two shortstop prospects that have really impressed. Gabriel Arias, so far, he has played 2 games. He is 5-for-5, and he has scored 2 runs and has 2 runs batted in.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
I thought he couldn't hit.
No, he can hit. He's actually known for bat first and power first, actually. But he has no extra base hits yet. But so he is he's a good hitting shortstop. But and then Andrés Giménez, who was the big return in the Lindor trade, he's kind of making us forget about Lindor a little bit with 4-for-4 with a triple, home run, run scored, and 3 runs batted in. That's good too.
I thought he couldn't hit.
He can hit, but as far he wasn't supposed to be hitting for power, but triple and a home run, not too bad in your first 4 at bats.
No, it is not.
And you're going to be surprised by this one.
Bring it.
Will Benson.
Will Benson.
Yep. So far he's played in 3 games. He's gone.
He can't hit. I know this. Don't he's fool gone, me.
Well, that's the thing. He's only got 1 hit. He's 1-for-3 with 3 walks.
I'll take it. Just get on base. That's all I care about.
Get on base at a 666 clip. I'll take that.
I will sign whatever contract Satan requires to allow us to have an outfielder who gets on base 66.6% of the time, because that's a whole lot of outs he's not making.
Now, in terms of other, big time prospects and your interest, people interested in how they're performing so far. As we mentioned, Bobby Bradley competing for the first base job. He's 1-for-4 with a home run and a strikeout. Nolan Jones, so far he has played in 3 games. He is 1-for-5 with a walk and a run scored. There is an issue, though. Out of all 4 outs, they are all strikeouts, and he has an error. Tyler Freeman, he is 2-for-5, pretty good, with a run and an error. He had an error today. Daniel Johnson, he had an RBI double today, which was good, but other than that, he is 1-for-4 with an error. I will also say that Will Benson's out today was a screamer that got caught in the outfield. He only got 1 at bat, but he crushed it and somebody just caught it. So no, he's looking good. I mean, so far he's only getting in at the very end of games against, maybe guys that'll be bagging groceries next week, as you say in Major League. So far, so good for him. George Valera, so far he is 1-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. I'm trying to think of any other top prospects that people might be interested in hearing about.
I think, unless someone else jumps out at you, I think that's a pretty good rundown of what we've seen from a lot of the guys that we're most excited about or are most curious about, such as Will Benson.
A couple players
to be coming from
Ernie
nowhere.
Ernie Clement and Owen Miller are getting a decent amount of playing time. I think they've played in 3 games out of the first 4.
Clement's, and you had mentioned to me there's something a little bit unusual about how they're being used. Is that right?
Clement has been a shortstop or second base for the most part, but he has gone in twice in the outfield right now. And he's 3-for-7 with 3 runs batted in and a run scored. And Owen Miller is a shortstop, perhaps second baseman, He's 1 for 7, although Hammy said that he is hitting the ball hard, all line drives. But he also played first base today, which was a bit surprising.
It's like the exodus of middle infielders. It's begun, and it started in the weirdest place we could have imagined. Ernie Clement? Like, I hear his name. Oh, yeah. He is a second base non-prospect, essentially, who I think doesn't get enough credit for as good as he is. But
I believe I put him in the best of the rest, so he's not, you know, too bad.
Oh, I don't think he's bad at all. He reminds me a little bit of Kai Tom, where we're just throwing our hands in the air going, why isn't anybody curious about what he can do?
Kai Tom's now on Oakland after getting Rule 5 drafted.
Never remind me that we lost Kai Tom again, Brian.
I apologize. We have had some decent, interesting pitching performances as well. Now, again, this is spring training, so you got to take all the pitching with a grain of salt because you don't know if somebody's coming in and they're telling them to only work on their changeup or something. Like, I think Zach Plesac today did not throw a breaking ball. Like, it was just fastball changeup the whole time. You know, he got knocked around a bit. So you're going to expect some things like that. But so far, pitching, nothing real crazy that I'm hearing. Kyle Nelson probably had the top performance. So guy battling for that, you know, left-handed relief role. So far, he's got one inning, struck out two, no hits, no walks, no runs. And of the two that he struck out, one of them was Jared Kelenic, the top prospect for the Mariners. So that was impressive. Trevor Steven, the guy that we Rule 5 drafted from the Yankees, he was utilized in one inning and had a perfect inning with a strikeout. Of note, Sam Henkes came in and was hitting 97 miles an hour, and he pitched a scoreless inning with two strikeouts. He did walk a guy. What else? Emmanuel Clase. In his debut, it wasn't great. You know, one inning, he gave up three hits and a run and had a strikeout, but he was hitting 98 miles an hour in his debut. Carlos Vargas was sitting 96, 97 miles an hour with his fastball and gave up one run in one inning. We've had a couple really bad performances, if you want to hear those. Worst performance so far goes to Scott Moss. Came in and pitched two innings, four hits, three earned runs with a couple strikeouts. So not terrible, but definitely not good. And Brian Shaw stunk it up today. Came in, that's not a prospect though. Two-thirds of an inning, gave up three runs.
I mean, Brian Shaw is not a prospect, but he's near and dear to our hearts nonetheless.
Really not a lot of prospects getting action today. Kyle Doughty came in and was throwing 98 miles an hour. He's all we have left from the Willy Castro trade. That was the last inning, and he did still give up two runs. So that's pretty much everything for anyone interested in the battle for the fifth starter. Cal Quantrill gave up or pitched two scoreless innings with a run or a hit, a walk, and a strikeout. I don't think Logan Allen has got to pitch yet. So far, it's pretty much just been Quantrill that's gotten a start, that's battling for the number five spots, and he was good.
I don't really know that we saw enough from him to have any even inklings yet, but he did get a ground ball out.
Yeah, and we didn't get to see a lot of him last year either. He kind of came in as a, you know, long reliever, but I mean, he was capable of starting even then. It's just there was never a spot for him in the rotation, so... but now there is. He was always a starting pitching prospect.
I think it's his to lose the more I think about it. They just gave him the first look out of all of those guys. And so that signals to me, at least, that they might be most confident about him or at least want to find out about him first.
I think that's definitely a good sign for him that he was given the start on their very first game. We'll see more of him. We'll see more of everybody else, too. I'm sure we'll be seeing big Logan Allen, too. What's interesting is you always hear about, you know, guys that come in either really good shape or out of shape. There are two prospects, I would say, that came in really, really good shape for spring training. So that would be Bobby Bradley, who apparently lost 35 pounds, Logan Allen Sr., who also lost about 30 pounds. Apparently, he gave up donuts. So, and poor Mandy Bell wrote the article. It was called No More Donuts or something was the title. And Logan like retweeted it with a quote. He's like, oh man, you must have been really, I must have been really fat if they're calling it No More Donuts when I finally lose weight.
Can't not think of the episode of Parks and Rec when they have to explain why Andy's lost all the weight. And he's just like,
he just said, I stopped drinking beer.
You must have been drinking, what, 40 beers a day? I know, right? Oh, I do feel bad for the man, though, because losing a food that you love. Actually, no, I don't think it's that bad. Get over the donuts, man. You pitching the bigs. I understand, but it's just like, I wonder if he accidentally said, like, oh, yeah, I cut donuts out, some other things. And then he opens the internet the next day and it's like, God damn it. I'm the donut guy now.
Maybe that happens.
I did, you know, CrossFit, Carlos, too.
Carlos but... Carrasco said he liked cookies one time.
Yeah.
Then look what happened.
Oh, Hato Turkoglu. The same thing. I know this is basketball, but he mentions offhand, like, I'll eat a pizza before games sometimes. And then it was his thing. He was the dude who ate a whole pizza before games. That was it. In addition to inexplicably hitting delicious three-pointers against the Cavs nonstop. Sorry, everybody. Basketball notwithstanding. I think that's... We kind of made it all the way around the farm so far, haven't we?
I'm trying to think. Oh, I guess in the very first game, Bo Naylor came in. So I didn't mention him because he's only played in one game and he had one at bat, but he went 1-for-1. So
he threw a guy out too.
And he threw a guy out. Yeah.
And he had a block on a breaking ball in the dirt for strike three and he threw the dude out at first.
Yep. So he had a cannon arm, good defense, and got a hit. Huge shout out to Bo Naylor making the most of a very small opportunity so far. You like him a lot.
I do. I want to see him succeed. I don't know what it is about certain prospects, but they just get, they get under my skin. And I guess Bo Naylor is the next Yandy Diaz for me. I don't know. Just hope he doesn't end up in Tampa.
Another prospect that has gotten no love from anybody so far, because they don't really know him that well, is Alex Call. Have you ever heard of him?
We picked him up in a trade.
Yes. He was the return in the Yonder Alonso trade.
Oh, my goodness.
And so far, he's got to play in 3 games. He's 2-for-5 with an RBI and a run scored.
You know who's not 2-for-5 in spring training?
Yonder Alonso. I think he retired, actually, in the offseason.
Yeah, he did. Which players do that someday, but... Yes, the Indians do seem to know when it's time to trade a guy.
Honestly, if Indians call me during the trade deadline, I hang up. I say, new phone, who dis?
Basically, I...
Yeah, I mean, after seeing what Arias and Jimenez are doing, yikes.
The deals keep looking worse and worse that the Indians front office makes.
Well, that Clevenger deal looks horrible now.
Yeah, how quick did the perspective of that trade flip? I thought it was 6 months ago. People were like, I give up on the team forever. None of this is going to help us anytime soon. And it's like, I know I was probably too high on Josh Naylor at first when he came over, but I don't. Now Arias and I, it's exciting. Every time we think we have emptied out the farm system, we blink and there's like 6 more shortstops that are just hitting 350 for some reason.
Yeah, and there's still quite a few players that I'm expecting to see action that we haven't seen yet. You know, we haven't seen Rocchio.
Oh, boy.
You know, we haven't seen Bracco. I think that they should both be, you know, getting some playing time as well. So, you know, I'm really excited about what we're going to be seeing here soon.
Me too. And as always, we're going to be here to tell you about it along the way. I think we should bring questions back next week. I think that would be nice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially now that we'll be playing. Yeah.
I believe that brings us to a very special time here on Indians on Deck, if you're ready, Brian.
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
So it is time for us to read a poem by the illustrious E.E. Gammix. Chad Wallach! Thank you.